Harry! What do you think you're doing down there?
Harry's heart leapt. So did the witch. A load of fingernails cascaded down over her feet, and she cursed as the massive form of Hagrid, the Hogwarts gamekeeper, came striding towards them, beetle-black eyes flashing over his great bristling beard.
Hagrid!
Harry croaked in relief.
I was lost. Flu powder.
Hagrid seized Harry by the scruff of the neck and pulled him away from the witch, knocking the tray right out of her hands. Her shrieks followed them all the way along the twisting alleyway out into bright sunlight. Harry saw a familiar snow-white marble building in the distance, Gringotts Bank. Hagrid had steered him right into Diagon Alley.
"You're a mess," said Hagrid gruffly, brushing soot off Harry so forcefully he nearly knocked him into a barrel of dragon dung outside an apothecary. "Skulking around Nocturne Alley? I don't know. Dodgy place, Harry. Don't want no one to see you down there."
"I realized that," said Harry, ducking as Hagrid made to brush him off again. "I told you I was lost. What were you doing down there, anyway?"
"I was looking for a flesh-eating slug repellent," growled Hagrid. "They're ruining the school cabbages. You're not on your own."
"I'm staying with the Weasleys, but we got separated," Harry explained. "I've got to go and find them." They set off together down the street.
"How come you never wrote back to me?"
said Hagrid, as Harry jogged alongside him. He had to take 3 steps to every stride of Hagrid's enormous boots. Harry explained all about Dobby and the Dursleys.
"Ruddy muggles," growled Hagrid. "If I'd have known..."
"Harry! Harry! Over here!"
Harry looked up and saw Hermione Granger standing at the top of the white flight of steps to Gringotts. She ran down to meet them, her bushy brown hair flying behind her.
"What happened to your glasses? Hello, Hagrid. Oh, it's wonderful to see you two again. Are you coming into Gringotts, Harry?"
"As soon as I found the Weasleys," said Harry.
"You won't have long to wait," grinned Hagrid.
Harry and Hermione looked around. Sprinting up the crowded street were Ron, Fred, George, Percy, and Mr. Weasley.
"Harry," Mr. Weasley panted, "we hoped you'd only gone one grade too far."
He mopped his glistening bald patch.
"Molly's frantic. She's coming now."
"Where did you come out?" Ron asked.
"Nocturne Alley," said Hagrid grimly.
"Brilliant,"
said Fred and George together.
"We've never been allowed in," said Ron enviously.
"I should ruddy well think not," growled Hagrid.
Mrs. Weasley now came galloping into view, her handbag swinging wildly in one hand, Ginny just clinging on to the other.
"Oh, Harry, oh, my dear, you could have been anywhere."
Gasping for breath, she pulled a large clothes-brush out of her bag and began sweeping off the soot Hagrid hadn't managed to beat away. Mr. Weasley took Harry's glasses, gave them a tap of his wand, and returned them, good as new.
"Well, gotta be off,"
said Hagrid, who was having his hand wrung by Mrs. Weasley.
"Nocturne Alley! If you hadn't found him, Hagrid!"
"See you at Hogwarts."
And he strode away, head and shoulders taller than anyone else in the packed street.
"Guess who I saw in Borgin and Burke's?"
Harry asked Ron and Hermione as they climbed the Gringotts steps.
"Malfoy and his father."
"Did Lucius Malfoy buy anything?"
said Mr. Weasley sharply behind them.
"No, he was selling."
"So he's worried," said Mr. Weasley with grim satisfaction. "Oh, I'd love to get Lucius Malfoy for something."
"You be careful, Arthur,"
said Mrs. Weasley sharply, as they were ushered into the bank by a bowing goblin at the door.
"That family's trouble. Don't go biting off more than you can chew."
"So you don't think I'm a match for Lucius Malfoy?"
said Mr. Weasley indignantly. But he was distracted almost at once by the sight of Hermione's parents, who were standing nervously at the counter that ran all along the great marble hall, waiting for Hermione to introduce them.
"But you're muggles," said Mr. Weasley delightedly. "We must have a drink. What's that you've got there? Oh, you're changing muggle money. Molly, look!"
He pointed excitedly at the 10-pound notes in Mr. Granger's hand. "Meet you back here," Ron said to Hermione, as the Weasleys and Harry were led off to their underground vaults by another Gringotts goblin. The vaults were reached by means of small, goblin-driven carts that sped along miniature train tracks through the bank's underground tunnels. Harry enjoyed the breakneck journey down to the Weasleys' vault, but felt dreadful, far worse than he had in Nocturne Alley when it was opened. There was a very small pile of silver sickles inside, and just one gold galleon. Mrs. Weasley felt right into the corners before sweeping the whole lot into her bag. Harry felt even worse when they reached his vault. He tried to block the contents from view as he hastily shoved handfuls of coins into a leather bag. Back outside, on the marble steps, they all separated. Percy muttered vaguely about needing a new quill. Fred and George had spotted their friend from Hogwarts, Lee Jordan. Mrs. Weasley and Ginny were going to a second-hand robe shop. Mr. Weasley was insisting on taking the Grangers off to the Leaky Cauldron for a drink.
"We'll all meet at Flourish and Blot's in an hour to buy your school books," said Mrs. Weasley, setting off with Ginny. "And not one step down Nocturne Alley," she shouted at the twins' retreating backs.
Harry, Ron, and Hermione strolled off along the winding, cobbled street. The bag of gold, silver, and bronze, jangling cheerfully in Harry's pocket, was clamouring to be spent. So he bought three large strawberry and peanut butter ice creams, which they slurped happily as they wandered up the alley, examining the fascinating shop windows. Ron gazed longingly at a full set of Chudley Cannon robes in the windows of Quality Quidditch Supplies, until Hermione dragged them off to buy ink and parchment next door. In Gamble and Jape's Wizarding Joke Shop they met Fred, George, and Lee Jordan, who were stocking up on Dr. Filibuster's fabulous Wet Start, No Heat fireworks. And in a tiny junk shop full of broken wands, wonky brass scales, and old cloaks covered in potion stains, they found Percy deeply immersed in a small and deeply boring book called Prefects Who Gained Power. "A study of Hogwarts prefects and their later careers," Ron read aloud off the back cover. "That sounds fascinating." "Go away," Percy snapped. "Of course, he's very ambitious, Percy. He's got it all planned out. He wants to be Minister of Magic," Ron told Harry and Hermione in an undertone as they left Percy to it. An hour later, they headed for Flourish and Blot's. They were by no means the only ones making their way to the bookshop. As they approached it, they saw to their surprise a large crowd jostling outside the doors, trying to get in. The reason for this was proclaimed by a large banner stretched across the upper windows. "Gilderoy Lockhart will be signing copies of his autobiography, Magical Me, today, 12:30 to 4:30 p.m.
"We can actually meet him," Hermione squealed. "I mean, he's written almost the whole book list."
The crowd seemed to be made up mostly of witches around Mrs. Weasley's age. A harassed-looking wizard stood at the door, saying,
"Calmly, please, ladies, don't push there. Mind the books now."
Harry, Ron, and Hermione squeezed inside. A long queue wound right to the back of the shop, where Gilderoy Lockhart was signing his books. They each grabbed a copy of Break with a Banshee and sneaked up the line to where the rest of the Weasleys were standing with Mr. and Mrs. Granger.
"Oh, there you are. Good," said Mrs. Weasley.
She sounded breathless and kept patting her hair.
"We'll be able to see him in a minute.